Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project, jointly sponsored by the UCLA Asian American Studies Center and the Chinese Historical Society of Southern California. This is the interview with Judge Delbert Wong on March 22nd, 1983, Tape 2, interviewed by Sue Ellen Chen. Tape 2. So while you were at Stanford, mainly you were studying.
Yes.
How about the social activities you started at?
No. Actually, I was married during my third year of law school. Of course, our friends at that time were law school classmates, mm-hmm. and then we also met many of the Chinese on the peninsula, made some very good friends mm-hmm. Among the Chinese. And so our social life was kind of varied, let's say. Mm-hmm. But while we were going to law school, it was all study. I mean, we really worked hard, and most of us had been away from studies for 3 to 4 years, mm-hmm. and so it was very important for us to devote as much time as possible to our studies, and we didn't have that much social life in law school. Mm-hmm. Many of the students were married, mm-hmm. some had families, and so it was practically all work and no play.
Uh-huh. How about the financial sources at that time?
Oh, well, that time, tuition, of course, was not that high. Tuition at Stanford, when I was going to law school, was only $500 a year. Mm-hmm. And the GI Bill mm-hmm. covered exactly $500, yeah. Oh. So tuition was paid by the government. In addition to that, we were allowed a subsistence. I think at that time it was $50 a month or something like that. Mm. So I still had to have help from my family, and mm-hmm. fortunately for me, they did help me.
Uh-huh. Would that be the case with the other Chinese students, or were there other Chinese students?
No, I was the only Chinese in law school. In fact, I may have been the only one to graduate at Stanford for many years, either before and after I graduated, because I remember going back to law school alumni events for years and not having seen another Chinese. I know of one or two Chinese who attended law school before me, but I don't know of anyone who graduated from Stanford Law School. I don't claim to be the first one to graduate from Stanford Law School, but I'm just not aware of anyone else having graduated before me in Stanford Law School.
Uh-huh. How were you received or treated in law school at the time, being the only Chinese students there? Or did you have
I didn't think that there was any distinction between the other students and myself. I mean, of course, my fellow students are aware that I was Chinese, but uh-huh. I don't think it ever came up. Uh-huh. Actually, come to think of it, our law school class was all white except for me. We had no, I don't remember a single black, I don't remember a single Chicano in law school. I think it was
very
mm-hmm.
How
well, for one thing at Stanford Law School, the competition was very difficult in getting in, and I don't think they had any, of course, in those days, there was no affirmative action program, mm-hmm. and I think it was the people came in strictly on the academic background.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got a good, solid education at Stanford, and as it turns out, our law school class was quite successful. And we learned this from our reading the newspapers and keeping tab of the progress of the students through our alumni magazines. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And you practically attend all the functions after you graduate. I mean, like the alumni, your
well,
own class.
I try to,
mm-hmm.
but as we get busy with the family and all, I didn't make as many as I would have liked to have. We made our 10th reunion,
mm-hmm.
but I missed our 25th.
Would you have a special feeling of being a Chinese and you would like to perform again, like when you were in college or in high school, that you have to perform better? And you would like to participate as much as possible to make the American recognize your achievements, and or is that?
No, by the time I got to law school, I don't think that there was any consideration of my working hard than the others. I worked as hard as I could, but so was everyone else. I mean, competition in law school was just very fierce, and I think everyone in law school. Realize that this was the one opportunity to learn as much as you could. I think that competition was fierce, but I think all the students felt that.
Uh-huh. How about after you graduate, you know, getting into work, and do you still feel that you have to sort of try very hard to make the connection with the schoolmates that can
No, I really didn't feel that consciously anyway that I tried to work harder than the others, because
uh-huh.
I feel that the law is a very competitive situation,
mm-hmm.
as it is. I mean, when you go into court,
uh-huh.
Generally speaking, one person's going to win and the other's going to lose. I mean, so it's just a, by nature.
Uh-huh.
By nature, I think it's a competitive profession,
uh-huh.
and you want to work harder than your opponent,
mm-hmm.
and you want to approach a problem with a more imaginative solution than your opponent. So it's competitive all the way through, and I don't think being Chinese or had anything to do with that. I would say that the one advantage that I found was my high identity. I mean, for example, when I worked in Sacramento with the state legislature, we had between 20 and 30 staff attorneys,
mm-hmm.
doing work for the members of the legislature.
Mm-hmm.
There were the 40 senators and 80 assemblymen.
Mm-hmm.
And by and large, the members of the legislature remembered me because I was the only Chinese. And when I did some work for them, they would remember that I did the work for them, not because of anything outstanding about the particular performance, but they would remember that I did it for them. And if they had another problem, they would call me. Whereas if one of my colleagues did the work, they wouldn't remember that
just
person. Just some lawyer came in and did this for me. And it was the same when I was trying cases. When I was in the Attorney General's office, I used to try many out-of-city cases. Well, for several reasons. Some of the Los Angeles lawyers didn't like to go into the Central Valley to try cases because of the tremendous prejudice in the Valley against big city lawyers.
Mm.
And when you went into a small community like Visalia or Hanford or Bakersfield, sometimes the judges would not be favorable to these big city slickers who come in and try cases. So I was always willing and happy to take cases in these small committees because I had many friends there, and it was a nice trip for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I tried many of the cases, and in fact, I think I tried cases in the 14 southern counties.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the opposing counsel, the judges would remember me simply because I was Chinese, and I was the only one
mm-hmm.
trying cases. Only Chinese trying cases, yeah. So they would remember, and that was, I found that to be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. Of course, when you said it was an advantage, but if one did your good performance or outstanding performance, they probably wouldn't remember you. And in other words, if you did not perform well, then they probably will come back and say, oh yes, you know, Chinese didn't do well. Would that be the case? Yes, sure.
Well, actually, I think that if I did a journeyman job, let's say I did an average job, they would still remember.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they were surprised that a Chinese would do an average job. I don't know, but anyway, I felt being Chinese in that situation was most helpful.
Uh-huh.
Because... Very frequently, you want people to remember you, and here I had a situation where people would remember me.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah. How about we go back a little bit? When you were in Stanford, you said you were already married.
Mm-hmm. My third year. Mm-hmm.
Your third year. And did you find it's easier for you to go through the final years, or it was a little bit with the family as well as schoolwork that you have to sort of divide your attention to?
No, because actually we were not married until my last quarter in
mm-hmm.
college,
mm-hmm.
and so I mean in law school, and I studied the same number of hours, I guess.
Were you staying on campus or off campus?
No, we had a home off campus. So.
Uh-huh, I see. Even before you were married,
mm-hmm.
you stayed out. Mm-hmm. So since we
lived on campus the first year.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, I see. So. Do you think that we can get into your working experiences from this point?
All right. So
okay. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned about your work in the state legislature first.
That was for almost 3 years.
Uh-huh. That was because you always wanted to get into the civil
service. Well, that was actually I went into this situation because it was the only job offered to me.
Oh, I took the test.
Yes,
did you take the bar exam later?
Yes, no, I took the bar first, yeah. I took the bar exam and, excuse me. Well, I took the civil service exam and was successful in getting appointed as a deputy legislative counsel.
Mm-hmm.
Our job was to draft bills and resolutions for members of the state legislature.
Mm-hmm.
We rendered opinions as to the constitutionality of laws and prospective laws,
mm-hmm.
and we worked with the legislative committees.
Mm-hmm.
That was our job mostly.
Mm-hmm.
We also worked between legislative sessions in revising laws and revising statutes and updating laws.
Mm-hmm.
So it was chiefly an office type practice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of research, a lot of writing, very few court appearances.
Mm-hmm.
And because I wanted to get some trial experience, I then managed to transfer to the Attorney General's office where there was a good deal of trial practice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So at the state legislature, when you get there, were most of the lawyers, attorneys there were younger people who's just started, or they were different?
No, they were different ages. There are many career people who've been there for 20 and 30 years
mm-hmm.
in the office.
Mm-hmm.
And they always brought on half dozen new lawyers all the time, to both for the experience and also to work in the permanent staff.
Mm-hmm. You said it was only an opening for you. Did you ever think of, at that time, did you think of opening your own practice, law office?
Well, I really didn't think about it because the opportunities for private practice is very difficult for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'd be even more difficult for Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
For example, when I was in Sacramento, I was the only Chinese lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to Los Angeles, there was only one Chinese lawyer in Los Angeles. I was the second Chinese lawyer, and this was 1951.
Mm-hmm.
The only lawyer was Y.C. Hong,
mm-hmm.
and he did most of the immigration work.
Mm-hmm.
So, as my father said to me, the Chinese are always concerned when they go to court about getting a fair shake, and if they come in with a Chinese lawyer too,
mm-hmm.
it gives them two strikes against them, see. And so I think there are many Chinese who, at that time anyway, who needed a lawyer, particularly for a court case, would be very reluctant to engage a Chinese lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
So,
wouldn't the Chinese think that there was an advantage that if they can communicate with a Chinese lawyer better than a non-Chinese lawyer, and one is language and secondly is probably the American lawyers or a non-Chinese lawyer probably would not fire as hard as they would for the non-Chinese.
Well, I suppose that I think the area of communication is very important, and I think that is a big advantage for Chinese-speaking lawyers to be able to communicate with their clients.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, interpreters can be used to solve that problem.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes the communication between a lawyer and a client through an interpreter is better than direct communication, unless the Chinese lawyer can speak the same dialect,
uh-huh.
and with the same fluency.
Uh-huh.
Know, that's the problem.
Uh-huh.
But I think many Chinese clients feel more comfortable
uh-huh.
with the Chinese lawyer because they feel they can trust them.
Uh-huh.
So I think there's this great advantage to being Chinese, and it's even a greater advantage to be able to speak the language.
Yeah. Yeah, pardon me for my ignorance. What is the procedures of getting the job in the state legislature at the beginning? You pass there.
They will publicize that they are giving a competitive examination for this particular job.
Mm-hmm.
And you can apply and take the exam.
Mm-hmm. You have to be the citizen, though.
Oh, yes, at that time, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then you get there and you pass the exam.
You pass the written exam.
Uh-huh.
And then you come called in for interview. And they usually have it two parts, you know, a written and an oral. And then they establish a list.
Uh-huh.
And the appointing power is usually permitted to appoint among the top three.
Oh, I see.
Appoint among the top three, and then if number one, two, or three is appointed, then on the next time there's a job open, then number four goes up. Then.
Oh, I see. So when you went through the interview, how did you feel and how did you prepare for it, and what the interviewer thought about, gee, here's a Chinese,
it's
because probably was first time they, or might not be.
It's been so long ago that I really don't remember that interview.
Uh-huh.
All I know is that I took an exam,
uh-huh.
And I'm sure that there was a written and an oral.
Uh-huh.
And ultimately, I was offered the job. You know.
Uh-huh.
It's been a long time ago. It's been over 30 years ago.
Probably not. It's nothing exceptional, so that you would remember.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
That's right.
So when you get to the office, you were the only Chinese there, or only probably Asian.
Yes, only Asian. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and at that time, you already sort of.
And in fact, again, I will say no. There was one black woman on the staff,
mm-hmm.
on the state legislature, but her job was indexing. I mean, she had a limited job. I mean, she was a lawyer and had been a lawyer for many years, but her job there had been one of indexing the statutes, index. So that was her job full time.
Mm-hmm. But for you, you just went in and you did everything.
Yes,
the others would.
That's
do.
Right. I went in and I was a deputy.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So you said that is any of interesting bill or any legislatures that while you were there that you helped to write or prepare at that time?
Well, it's a long time ago, but I think I prepared the first draft of the a bill called the Household Carriers Act. This was a law to regulate people who move furniture and vans. Another big job I did there was to prepare the first draft of the Public Utilities Code. That's
mm-hmm.
one of the things I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably one of the most controversial bill I prepared. But before I tell you about this, you'll have to understand that as the lawyer for the members of the state legislature, we are the draftsmen, and whatever they tell us they would like is what we prepare.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a nonpartisan job. One day we'd be drafting a bill for the Democrat, next day for Republican, and we can't tell A what we're doing for B, and we can't tell B what we're doing for A. Sometimes they're working at cross purposes, and we do the work for each one of them, but we never tell what we're doing for the others. So probably one of the most controversial bills that I can think of was the drafting of the first loyalty oath bill in California.
Mm-hmm.
And this was shortly after it was during the Korean War.
Mm-hmm.
And I received a call about 4 o'clock in the afternoon that the governor's office wanted the loyalty bill on his desk by 10 o'clock the next morning, and they gave me the oath that they wanted, but they wanted me to prepare a bill which would implement that and put it into effect as to who would have to take it and how would it be taken,
mm-hmm.
when it should be taken, and the so that was probably one of the most controversial bills that I ever prepared.
In what sense it's controversial?
Well, there was a big question as to whether or not it was constitutional.
Mm-hmm.
Whether this was the non-communist oath which public officers had to take, but it was not put in those terms. They said that I have not been a member of any party that advocates the overthrow of the government by force and violence.
Mm-hmm.
And this was an oath that was required of teachers, of all state officers, and state employees.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to attempt to draft it so that it would be constitutional. We tried. And as a matter of fact, the first cases that came out upheld the constitutionality of the loyalty oaths, and it was approved for something like it was 20 years later that it was held unconstitutional. Yeah. But before that, the cases that were all held that it was constitutional.
Mm-hmm. And you have a relatively short time to prepare that.
One day, one night in fact. This time was given to me about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it had to be done by 10 o'clock the next morning. So.
How did you find the work as just fresh out from school and you already...
It was very challenging, and it was exciting because here we were at the seat of government where the laws were made,
mm-hmm.
and we got to see the behind the scenes politics, the jockeying positions, and doing the technical work of implementing what people want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes the legislators would come in with specific ideas as to how the law should be implemented.
Mm-hmm.
Other times, a legislator would come in and they'll just say, well, we have a terrible problem in my district. We want to remedy it. Draw me a bill. And that was
uh-huh.
It could be something as specific as wanting to tax a certain activity,
mm-hmm.
or it could be something as general as to a bill to regulate and license hairdressers, say,
mm-hmm.
and then the draftsman would sit down and think of ways to regulate this industry.
Mm-hmm.
It could be done by boards, it could be done by how do you issue licenses, who should get licenses, what are the requirements for the license.
So degrees of putting your own input varies from cases to case.
That's
from
true.
One bill to another. Sometimes
that's
the
true.
Legislator will give you just an outline, and sometimes they will not even give you outline.
That's
right.
Just
say,
I want to accomplish a purpose, yeah.
Uh-huh.
A specific objective. Be up to the draftsman then to prepare a bill to achieve that objective.
Uh-huh. Would you work alone in one bill, or usually you have a team that were assigned to?
Usually, one person would be assigned to draft the bill, and then he'd have a supervisor, and sometimes it'd be reviewed by two or three supervisors. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But I think in bill drafting, like in writing a book. You can't write a book by committee. I mean, you know, one person has to do it, and the others can criticize and give their input.
Mm-hmm.
But someone has to take the first step of laying words in on in.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's the most economically most feasible way of doing it. I mean,
yes.
This business of drafting a letter by committee is a terrible thing. Have you ever tried to do it?
No. End up with 100 pages of letters, zero. Yeah.
Well, I think one person has to do the first draft anyway, then the others can criticize and suggest that we can hit.
Because I was wondering that when you just start and then you already take the responsibility of taking the full load
mm-hmm.
of work,
mm-hmm.
and what if you need the advice or you have to.
Well, you can always, as you're drafting, you can always consult your colleagues or your supervisor as to indicate, have you done something like this before? You know,
mm-hmm.
as a guess, and do you have a sample? You know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or you can say, do you know of any appellate court cases involving this problem? Or you do your own research. And that's.
Mm-hmm. Did you find any difficulty? Or it's rather, easy to get the cooperation from the colleagues or supervisor. Again, I
mm-hmm.
I didn't want to get back to being Chinese, but sometimes.
Generally speaking, I had no problems at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the one exception that I can remember of, at that time we had our main offices in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had a branch office in Los Angeles, staffed by one lawyer and one secretary.
Mm-hmm.
And the Los Angeles office was for the convenience of Los Angeles legislators.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an opening in Los Angeles, and I wanted to transfer from Sacramento to Los Angeles to be the second person.
Mm-hmm.
But this head of the office in Sacramento didn't feel that it would be a good idea to send a Chinese down there when there were only two lawyers to deal with the legislators, and he felt that some of them may not feel comfortable,
mm-hmm.
because when there would be times when I would be the only one in the office and in
mm-hmm.
charge of the office when the other lawyer was gone,
mm-hmm.
and so he just felt that. He frankly told me that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But sometime later, I eventually came down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This don't remember the circumstances now, but the first time I had actually come back, the answer was no. And then some months later, 6 or 8 months later, I did actually come down, and I can't remember what changed his mind, or maybe he was he may not have been with the office anymore, come to think of it, but somehow or other I did make it down here. And it was while I was in Los Angeles that I transferred to the Attorney General's office. There was an opening here in Los Angeles, and I transferred over.
So you came to Los Angeles first as
a deputy legislative counsel.
I see.
So well, I actually served, and I was down for about a year, I guess.
About a year.
Before I transferred over.
I see. How did you feel that, because then you will be at the position of one of the two, right, in Los Angeles. Did you feel any difficulties dealing with the legislator?
I had no difficulty at all. I feel that the it was just a problem that someone had envisioned, and there's really no problem at all there.
I often wonder, since you are the first in this office in Los Angeles,